When your art is rooted in your religious faith, how does your work evolve along with your beliefs? Matthew Paul Miller could tell you. The hip-hop and reggae singer is better known by his Hebrew name, Mattisyahu. He emerged in the mid-2000s, clad in a long beard and traditional garments, weaving themes of Orthodox Judaism into his lyrics. Over a decade later, he's almost unrecognizable. He's shed the beard and performs in his street clothes. And though religion is still in his life, he continues to strive for new sounds. Mattisyahu was in town last week supporting a new album, and contributor Mara Davis caught up with him for a conversation.
Release the Bound is out, and this is it's a little bit different, I would think, from what you've put out over the past couple of years.
Yeah, well, this is a combination of about five songs that I did with three different producers. Three of the songs I did with some brothers out in Germany not this last summer, but the summer before. We worked on some tracks based on a certain sort of style that I wanted to kind of go after that I knew they could kind of do. They're kind of like producers that make electronic music, but with all like organic instruments, so it's not being played live by a band per se, but it still has, and it has sort of like a certain kind of dancey feel to it, but it's all organic, African, mainly like instruments. We started playing one of the songs this summer, Shade from the Sun, and it's like instantly I just kind of like knew certain songs become hits, you know, not because radio plays them or because millions and millions of people have access to them, but if a song is a hit, if it's a hit, you know. So I have certain songs, like for example, Jerusalem is a song like that for me that it never had any radio play, but it's like a hit over the years with people, you know. Jerusalem, if I forget you, fire not gonna come from it. Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my right hand forget what it's supposed to do. And then the other group that I worked with on this record, Polish Ambassador, who's an up-and-coming young electronic artist based out of Colorado, who we had a show together at Red Rocks and wanted to work on a tune together, so we collaborated on this song, which is kind of like a little bit of a housey kind of beat. Walk the tightrope of goodness and hold on for so long till the wind blows. Try to knock my socks off, quick kick dojo, razor sharp like a shark, emotions. I want to go back on something that you said. You were talking about EDM and beats and different sounds. And I think what you've done on some of these songs on Release the Bound is, you know, a lot of times that music can be very distant. It can feel very cold. But what I feel is that you have found a way to bring warmth to that. Am I on the right track? Thank you. I mean, this particular EP is a pretty uplifting EP. The songs are pretty motivating, like up kind of songs. And then they're pretty, like they're melodic. They have beats, you know, they kind of like have a lot of the staples of what Mattisyahu music kind of has had in the past. But it is definitely on the electronic tilt, and definitely that is the challenge when making any music, really, is how to put your heart and your soul into it.
There's so much religion and spirituality in your music. Have you ever thought about collaborating with a Christian rocker or crossing over in that way? Because it seems like you have absolutely no boundaries, and I would think, is that something you've thought about, or would you ever want to do?
Yeah, I did, like, in 2000, maybe 2006. Like, the first collaboration that I ever did was with a group called POD. That's a Christian band. They're, like, they're a rock band. They're probably the most well-known Christian rock band in the mainstream that had mainstream success. So it made a lot of sense when I first came out, being, like, the first sort of, like, Hasidic, Jewish, religious man having mainstream success, and they were like the Christian rock but they weren't really Christian rock. They were more just like Christians in a rock band, you know? So that there was that collaboration that we did.
You do a duet with Salt Cathedral, and that was kind of a big deal because you're doing a duet with a female, which is something that, you know, hadn't been done as, you know, being Orthodox. Which, by the way, it's such a great, great song, and there's great chemistry together. Can you walk me through that a little bit? Tell me a little bit about that song.
They reached out to me just online, I think on the internet or whatever, and I listened to their music. One thing is that I don't have a manager, and I don't have anyone doing my own social media. So I basically like have a lot of access to the fans, and the fans have access to me. Like my personal email is on the website as like the contact. And I had big managers. I was on a major label. I've been doing this for a while, and I just came to a point where I just like try to just direct connection, and you know, thank God I've got people that help me along the way. But so I read like what fans say, which is tough because you see a lot of, you know, critiques, criticisms, thoughts, opinions, judgments, ideas, whatever it is people say about you. But once in a while, and the reason I do it is because something really great comes out of it. And that Salt Cathedral thing is one of those things.
So what happened? Did they reach out to you?
Yeah, they just reached out, and I listened to their music. They're like, we want to do a track with you. So I had like a day off in Brooklyn. I went into the studio. I listened to the track that they had created. And then I just sat down and I just wrote. And I tried to kind of come with like the King Without a Crown flow from my first single. Sort of like similar type of vibe, like inspirational lyrics, nothing too deep or dark, but kind of with that same flavor and that same flow. So that's kind of what I did. And her voice is like beautiful and amazing, and the voices work really well together. Your despair gives you power, that's a fact. When you climb these lonely towers and you found your way back.
King Without a Crown. What does that feel like when you're performing that and everybody in the audience knows all the words? What's that like?
Well, that song in particular was like my hit, and so it was, I'd, you know, play it at every show. And then at a certain point, it started to be really difficult for me to play and not get depressed. So I kept trying to change the vibe or something in the song, like retain the original hook and melody that would make people who were listening still be like, oh yeah, it's King Without a Crown, cool. But at the same time, change the flavor and the feel to the song. And for 10 years, I've been doing that, trying to fall back in love with that song, and have been unsuccessful. You know, maybe for like a short stint, like for a week or two, I would like, the beat's kind of cool and make it interesting, but always come back to the same place with it. And I finally this year found like the way to make that song real for me. And it's basically, we do a mashup with a gangster rap song called Lift Me Up by Vince Staples. It's an incredible song, And we use that as the sort of the beat or the musical bed for the track. And it's dark, and all of a sudden the lyrics in King Without a Crown up against the kind of the dark background of this music just totally resonate with me in a totally real, authentic way. Hey.
The video that went viral of you singing it with a busker in a coffee shop. I mean, it's kind of funny how social media does that. How suddenly you're like there, and he didn't recognize you. Can you take me through that? Because I think so many people were fascinated by that story.
Yeah, basically we had some shows in Hawaii. We had like our day off. We were in Maui and hanging out in a coffee shop, and there's a boy in there, like a young man playing guitar for money. And he starts singing One Day. And then my bass player, Stu, a good friend, one of my best friends, he was like, you should sing with him, you know? I was like, that's not really my style, you know? I don't want to draw attention and make a whole scene. And he's like, dude, he's got no idea it's you. It'll totally go viral. So I'm like, oh, viral video. Okay, in that case. So I started singing with him. And then he didn't know like that it was me. So afterwards I told him we got it all on film and put it out. It's cool because, you know, like you said, there's just things that happen along the way that introduce your music to new people, and this is one of those things.
Win or lose, 'cause we got news when they feed on the souls of the innocent.
So your kids obviously are, such a huge part of your soul right now. How do they identify with Modest as the performer and Modest as the dad? Is there a distinct difference there?
Well, I've sort of made them such a part of my life, and my life has been so intermingled between work and family and life and play and fun, and you know, it all goes together. They've had passports since they were a week old. They've been on the road, they've been at shows, and come out on tour. Sometimes the little one will come and just spend a couple weeks with me on tour. So they're really like, I would say that they're sort of not impressed with the flashiness of it all, and they could like see really right through all of the glitz or whatever that surrounds it, and just see the real life of what it is to be an artist, a working musician. I love my kids. The way that I break down my life is like my music and my kids. You know, those are the things that keep me going. So
let's move into something that a lot of people have talked about. You've changed your look completely, and it was sort of like you identified with looking one way as an Orthodox Jew and your hair long and being on stage. And it was sort of, I don't want to say it was a novelty, but it was something that was just so completely different that I think people in music had never seen anything like you before. And then you decided to change your look, loosened up on your faith a bit. And you've gone gray, and it just seems like you're more comfortable in your own skin. So can you talk a little bit more about that transformation?
Sure. I think that there's like certain things you always come back to, and my life has kind of been a process up to this point. I'm 37 years old, of sort of go. This is actually like a concept in Hasidic philosophy or whatever called Rotzei Veshuv. Rutze means to run, and shuv means to return. And that life is constantly like a ebb and flow. Like I'm a water sign, I'm a Cancer. So I relate to the water and the ocean and the waves. And there's a ebb and flow, and there's a like a running out and then a coming back. And I think that my life has kind of centered around that. And so in terms of the way I look or my style, it reflects in that also. So it's like I've always been like really expressive in terms of the way I look and what's like going on with me. Like when I was a kid, I was into skateboarding. I looked like a skateboarder. I got into reggae music. I got into, you know, different things along the way. But one thing about me is like I always took from a lot of different places. So I was never the kid that would just be into one thing. I was always about, I had friends in different groups. I listened to music from different groups. I played a lot of different sports. I kind of had my hands in a lot of different places. And I think that I've sort of done the same thing with the music and the style. You know, like I said, you know, it's like when I became religious, like I wasn't like, all right, let me read up on it in my spare time, or let me dedicate a lot of time to reading up on it. I was like, let me live it.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. Then I pray, don't take me soon. I'm here for reasons. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never.